Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking top 30 forward rankings. Tell you what, it's been a pretty contentious one to sit down and write this list. There's been a big changes over the pre-season, so sit back and relax while we go through them. But before we do, I'm glad he's still here. He's alive after the Big Bash Fantasy final on Saturday night. Welcome to you, Statesman. Choked yet again in another final.
Sorry, got something stuck in my throat. My apologies. Yes, I lost the Big Bash Grand Final. Can I say that I, well before the Big Bash Grand Final, I did have my say both on social media and to you fine gentlemen, leading up my concerns regarding that there's absolutely no restrictions come finals, so everyone can just basically have the same team. No matter how well you've got way too much money. You can buy whoever you want. So that, I think they need to revamp that, or possibly actually not have finals in the fantasy model. But the bottom line is we had four different players. Whiteman v. Haddon cancelled themselves out. They were 73. Then we had Botha v. Dwarshus. I won that by 14 points, 44 to 30, and went Botha because he'll bat and bowl. Then I went Turner was mine, Voges was Jono's. I won that by 23.
Well, my batsman didn't even play, and I still beat you.
Well, he did play, but he didn't bat. And then the last but not least selection was Andrew Tighe versus Richo Richardson. Now, Richo Richardson, I will point out, scored much lower than Tighe throughout the whole season, went into the game with an injury cloud. But as we all know, he had an absolute blinder. He scored 106 versus Tighe 19, who ironically Tighe left the game injured, even though it was Richo that had an injury. So, yes, I can see Jono, but I will say I did send out a little ditty. Ooh, Tighe could be the difference between us at the beginning of the game. And he went, ooh, I meant to put him in my team. So I'm assuming it would have been at Richo's expense. So we'll say it's Jono's fault that gave him the victory, but I must sound gracious, even though I'm not. But well done, Jono. Congratulations on winning another fantasy through fluke.
Well, I'll just go down in the annals of history as another Bradbury moment. Just come from behind, take the gold, and I'll just be on my merry way. And maybe you might see me on that celebrity show in the jungle. Steve, we welcome you, mate.
Yeah, no, doesn't he sound like Donald Trump? It's rigged.
It's rigged.
It's rigged.
You're going to get deported now.
And I was... Oh, my God. He's already on
a
separate
island. It was a good bit of
fun. It was. And thank you to everyone who participated in the league.
I won the minor finals, Jono.
Congrats, mate.
I have no idea about cricket. But I was the only person who went Mitch Johnson captain, not...
Abbott.
Yeah, it worked out for nothing. Me. Yeah, the other guy smashed it. Anyway, it was interesting. Jono, through the week, we had our league of record for the people who are listening. Me and Jono play in our own... we've been playing a league for a while. And we did our draft order through the Royal Rumble, as always. And we finally snagged some top five picks.
3 years now it's taken. And we finally got there with, well, jobbers, really. Like,
yeah, that's...
They were not name brand guys like your Goldberg or Brock Lesnar. No, no, no. We had Luke Harper and who'd you have? Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler.
Did his little thing and got literally thrown out of the ring.
Unbelievable. I was, but I'm pretty happy, Jono. Happy with my number five.
And I'm number four, so again, we are drafting side by side each other. So
Again.
Still, Steve has not outdrafted me.
That's debatable. Anyway, let's get on with
it. So, yes, if you're looking forward or looking for a draft order, check out the Rumble, don't check out the results, and get a few mates together and have a few beers and have a laugh. It's good fun. A bit of an update on the website. Hit a bit of a snag. My brother, the computer...
Don't throw someone else under the bus.
Computer guru.
It's upcoming.
Well done, Richo.
Richo, man.
I didn't even listen to that.
Oh, really? No. How's it going? Anyway. It is coming. We just had a minor glitch, but that's all sorted now. Steve, I believe we have a review this week.
Yeah, look, one of the ways we often tell people they can help us out each week is to leave us an iTunes review or Stitcher review or subscribe on SoundCloud or whatever. And we got another great review from our listener, Sean Mirror. And he says, love the show, guys. I've been a fantasy elite player for over 5 years now, and a draft-relevant podcast has been well overdue. Great listening. Keep up the good work. So thanks a lot, Sean, for that review. It only takes a couple minutes to do, so anyone out there who's enjoying the show, please feel free to leave a review.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Sean. A bit of news coming out today, something all Richmond fans are dreading. First Leeds is gone, and now it looks like Dusty Martin's put contract hold talks on hold to the end of the year. Generally means they're out the door. So one headline we're going to see for the entire year. What's
yeah,
the hell's Dusty?
Being sick of that by March.
Well, I'm already sick of it now. Cause yeah. Just. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors, or you can follow Statesman at Statesman33. Head over to Facebook, where we can just search in the Draft Doctors there, or just drop us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. But we're talking top 30 forwards today. I don't know why it says defender rankings there. talking our forwards, again, like the previous week, we go through Dream Team, Super Coach, and Keepers, and we just talk about a couple of guys that we like. And to start us off, we've got Steve talking in our Dream Team rankings.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to break down my top 30 for the Dream Team rankings. So starting off, number one, I've got Jack McRae from the Western Bulldogs. Number two, Nick Riewoldt, the old man. Number three, I've got Luke Dalhouse. Number four, Brett Deledio. Number five, I've got Lance Franklin. Number six, Toby Green. Number seven, big mover here, Jono.
Big mover?
The Statesman's boy, Isaac Heaney, with the rig.
That is a rig. Serious rig.
You know who he reminds me of? Is that guy in the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, the blonde, yeah, the blonde guy, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't he? Number eight. Now, a bit of controversy, people. We've changed someone's nickname. We used to call him Ugly Tom. I don't like it.
Don't like it?
We've moved on. We're going to call him Good Personality Tom Lynch.
And that's Tom Lynch from the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah, Good Personality Tom in number eight. Number nine, I've got Steve Motlop, old Caprichoser himself. Number 10, I've got Handsome Tom. I'm going to stick with Handsome Tom.
Handsome Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast.
Chesty Bonds Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Number 11, we've got Devin Lunch Meat Smith, one of our favourites. Number 12, Kobe Stevens. Bit of a shocker, John, I guess.
Yeah, nobody can see it.
Can see it. 13 is running mate in average from last year, Josh Caddy.
Nice.
The new Richmond Tiger. Number 14, returning to the AFL, Paddy Ryder. Number 15, got Josh Kennedy from the West Coast Eagles, the JJK. Number 16, got Isaac Smith. 17, another bit of a mover up the rankings, Jack Billings.
Yep.
Number 18, Took Miller, also probably moves up the rankings. Number 19, probably sliding down the rankings, Jack Gunston.
That's a big slide.
Bit of controversy there. Number 20, I've got Jared Roughhead. Number 21, I've got Harley Bunnell. Number 22, Cyril Rioli. Number 23, Justin Westhoff, who I think could be a bit of a discount. Number 24, Josh Dunkley from your Western Bulldogs, Jono.
Yep, had a good year.
25, Matty Wright from Carlton. Had a banger of a year. 26, I've got old Tainted,
ooh,
Jesse Hogan.
Surprised he's made your list.
My favourite player in the AFL, Melbourne's third best key forward. Number 27, I've got Chad Wingard, the Chad. 28, I've got Blake Akers from St Kilda.
Interesting.
A little bit of a
left speculative field pick.
Yeah, a bit speculative, a bit left field. Number 29, I've got Sean Higgins. So,
the burn, man.
Just someone take a drink or something, get that taste of vomit out of your mouth. And number 30, I've got Caleb Daniel rounding out my top 30.
Interesting.
What do you guys, any contentions there, Statesman?
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly have a look and see where he is on the leaderboard with the average from last year. But Jack Gunston seemed a little low for me. Obviously, talk about him a little bit more when we're in the keeper league, but he's in the top 10 for keepers, so it's interesting that being that mid-20 age, why he'd be so low on your dream team scoreboard.
Yeah, no, look, Jack Gunston's, that's certainly a controversial ranking, I would suggest, to have him that low. I did speak about him on the Burnman show. And part of the reason is Jack Gunston's obviously been fantastic for the last 3 years for the Hawks, been very consistent, played all the games, 87 average most of the time. I think he had 92 2 years ago for Dream Team. But what I'm terrified about for Hawthorn is the ball use going inside 50. Now, you take out Sam Mitchell, you take out Jordan Lewis, and you take out Brad Hill, and these guys were all 4 and above inside 50s per game. They were all good ball users, and you're replacing them with Tom Mitchell.
Jager.
Possibly, well, he's not even playing for the first month, and maybe Kieran Lovell, maybe Hodge goes into the midfield.
What about your boy Burgoyne?
You know where he played in the practice match they had the other day?
Practice match, here we go.
Where did he play?
Midfield.
Midfield.
Yeah.
No, but I do think he will be in there because they need some quality ball use. But for me, all it takes to drop 6 points, which takes you from 87 to 81, is a mark and a kick. Okay, that's often forgotten when we're talking averages, is how you actually build your average. If he drops a mark and a kick, this is his sort of range. So I feel very comfortable ranking him at 19. Means I probably won't get him in drafts because people tend to draft off the year before's average. Mm. But I think he's going to be a bit of a letdown. So that's the reason for that. Johnny, did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts on why you liked Sean Higgins, considering he's only ever played one full year.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, but one thing I will say with Sean Higgins, he's coming in at 29. Now, he played the 8 games last year, only averaged 73. But I feel really comfortable ranking here because he's either going to be my third forward or my fourth.
Yeah, so he's at
29. Now, I feel like there's so many iffy forwards at the back end of the
top
rankings.
20.
Is it the back end of the 30s? At the back end of the late 20s? So,
yeah.
I mean, you're comparing him in this range to... I've got some apologies here. They're Jack Steele, Jordan Ngoi, Stevie J, who I think is going to, you know, have a down a year. Petraka.
Still building.
I don't think he's a Dream Team player personally. But you're sort of putting him in range with these guys. I know what Sean Higgins is capable of. I know he's in the best 22.
Yeah.
Now, it's only going to be injury that's going to be keeping him out. I feel like he can get back to the year before's average of 85. They need some wheels and class in the midfield. So I certainly have no problems ranking him there. By all reports, he's training well, burning up the track, well, as everyone else is at this time of year.
Teammate Jed Anderson, eh?
Well, that's a good point, actually. But look, I mean, I think there's guys in front of him who he will have a higher average than. I'll say that. Like, I think he'll probably have a higher average than Cirioli. I think he'll probably have a higher average than the Chad. I think he'll probably have a higher average than even Blake Akers. But I feel like he's the risk. So that's why he's behind them.
Yep.
I understand that. That's not a problem. Some other guys I wanted to talk about who were sort of... I feel like they're getting either slighted or pumped up a little bit too much. I got Nick Riewoldt in at number 2. And I haven't seen much love for Nick Riewoldt over the preseason.
The previous few years, really.
Well, really. And that's absolutely right, Jono. But last year, he was the... I mean, going off last year's average, he's the number 1 forward by 12 points.
Yep.
And I don't even have a number 1. I mean, is that possible? Last year, he went over 114 times out of his 21 games.
Wow.
And only scored under 72 times. So I feel like St Kilda, and it's the whole age thing, and I feel like they've sort of found a way to manage him.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be consistent going into this year. So I don't see any reason not to draft him highly. And also I think, and it's something we've talked about a lot on the podcast, is the guys who get mentioned a lot in the, you know, the draft season or when
pre-season.
You're picking your team, so to speak, are the guys that are more salary cap relevant. And Nick Riewoldt is really irrelevant for salary cap because of his super high average. People aren't going to draft him because they're not going to pay the premium bucks.
No.
Which is kind of funny, isn't it?
Mm.
Because you're talking about the top point and everyone's like, yeah, danger, got to have danger. Got to have Max Gawn. Well, he's the number 1 forward, and you're basically saying no chance.
Mm.
So, but for the draft game, I think he's fantastic.
do you think he still plays that 22, 21, 20 games, or does maybe a, does he?
I think take as long as he doesn't get a serious injury,
yep.
Hashtag serious, he'll play 20 plus.
20 plus, because he is an elite runner.
Fantastic.
Blows up, what, five blokes a game.
Absolutely.
Great marking skills. Inside 50 to that upcoming forward line, McCartan, Bruce, Membry.
I mean, what a fantastic option for St Kilda.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to get 20 touches, 10 marks, smash it out of the park.
Score you 200 in a final as well.
Yeah, and that's talked about, but they also... He's still salty.
Nothing, I just had something in my throat again.
Is this guy the saltiest bloke you've ever met?
Very salty. Statesman, brought to you by Saxa.
I'm going to call this guy the Buffalo Bills. Loves losing the final. He's got the collie wobbles. got the statesman wobbles. But elite running forwards, that's a really good lead into our next guy. Good personality, Tom Lynch. Really, much like Rewa, very uncontested, takes a lot of marks, gets a lot of possessions. Gets up the wing, lead up forward. And in this year, he's coming in at my number eight forward. And in this year where there's a lot of ifs, there's a lot of ifs and buts in the forward line, I would say, gentlemen, to you. He feels like a steadier.
Yeah.
If I was drafting him as my first forward, he's in my third tier of forwards. I'm not choosing him early. I'm probably choosing him around round six.
Yeah.
Which I feel is, that's fair enough.
What ranking did you have him against, sorry?
Eight. Number eight. Yep. So, yeah, a bit of a steady out. The last three of the last 4 years, he's averaged 87 or better.
That's great.
So that's pretty handy. Averaged the 90 last year. How's this for an interesting stat, though? Of all these guys, of all the forwards, the only guys who played 20 or more games and only scored less than 70 twice, there was only three, and Tom Lynch was one of them.
Wow.
So the other two were Nick Riewoldt and Lance Franklin. I mean, that's pretty fantastic company. He's not letting you down.
No. Nope.
That's the point of it. Yes, buddy.
And excuse the pun, but he's not sexy, so you'll actually get him at a reasonably good bargain.
Yeah, and that's the point with these forwards. I think the first few are pretty... we were talking about tiers. He's in my third tier. I think the first few are worthy of drafting, you know, in those rounds 2 to 4. But I think Tom Lynch's good personality. Tom's going to drop back to that 6 to 8 range. And I feel like that's a really good value. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't draft him.
Well, in our league of record, I had him as a third forward last year.
And he's fantastic.
Yeah, he was a great pick.
Certainly for Dream Team especially. And the last guy I really want to talk about is Paddy Ryder. In at 14, I feel like he's someone who's really going to shape drafts.
Yeah.
Because of that ruck forward status, we're not seeing it this year like we did last year where there's a lot of ruck forward guys who are very relevant. I feel like Paddy Ryder's the only one. We've seen the 88-90 Dream Team average with Ryder as the sole ruck, which I project him to take. He scores 100s. He will have some down games, but... He's a guy who's capable of banging out some big scores, but I believe when he's solo rucking, he offers some consistency. I think he helps Port in a big way. Absolutely. They're clearly not in love with Matt Lobe because they were very willing to concede hitouts using Jackson Trengove as the ruck last year. And I think it hurt him across the board because they were sort of forced to shuffle players around and around.
Yeah.
And Paddy Ryder can play forward. We know that as well. He's certainly capable of kicking some goals. So sure. I like that flexibility as well. I think... In at 14 is a really fair ranking because I think if you're drafting him as a forward, you're going to draft him earlier than when you would draft him as a ruckman.
Yep.
If that makes sense. But I think if you draft him as a forward, it offers you some flexibility in case someone, one of the rucks, slips in your drafts. So I think that's a really interesting way to approach your draft. And I certainly think it offers you a lot of flexibility going into it. Oh, did I touch on...
Dunkley, no.
Didn't touch on Dunkley. Yeah, in a 24, I had Josh Dunkley, and he played the 13 games in an 80 average last year, had the 4 scores over 100 in the regular season and 4 under 70. But those under 70 games were really early on. After round 17, he didn't give you one of those. Played in the grand final. I really liked him, even in the NAB Cup last year. Big tackle numbers.
Yep.
Big tackle numbers. Love that. Got 20 plus touches a lot of the time. I think he can lift into the mid-high 80s once he gets those sub-70 scores out of his game, which I think he can. But the problem with the Dogs, Jono, and you'll probably know this as a supporter, because they run so deep with these mid-half forward types, is I just don't feel confident that he's always going to be best 22.
No, I totally agree. Like, you got your Toby McLean, your Caleb Daniel, like Luke Dalhouse will play as that mid-forward, but yeah. Cramery back, Travis Cloak in that team is...
And I mean, you've got guys like Ling Jong who are missed out on games, Honeychurch who are missing out on games. Like, yeah. These guys are still reasonable players.
Yeah.
And they're... just sometimes you can take your eyes off the prize a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially in the second year. I think you go, I'm all over it. Won the premiership. I feel pretty good about him. And he's got some good upside, but it's more the team and the willingness to drop players if they're just a touch off the boil.
I think Luke Beveridge gives him at least 2 weeks, and like he's not going to go one game, you're out, but maybe as that fringe player, you might see that he does get that 1 week and out, but certainly proved himself during the finals series last year.
Yeah, I like his dream team upside a lot.
Yep.
Even more than his teammate Caleb Daniel, but that's just my little query on the
certainly on the Bulldogs. A watch and see of the JLT, that's
absolutely
for sure. Moving on to the Supercoach rankings now, which I have prepared. Coming in at my number one is Luke Dalhouse, Jack McRae, handsome Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast Suns, Nick Riewoldt at 4, Buddy Franklin, JJK, Toby Green at 7, Josh Caddy at number 8, Jack Gunston number 9, Chad Wingard 10. In my F2 position, I've got Devin Smith at 11, Cyril Rioli, Justin Westhoff, Jack Riewoldt, Stevie Capriccioza Motlop.
Give us the numbers there, buddy.
Keep going.
I'm not good at maths. I need an abacus for your rankings.
15 for Motlop, 16 Paddy Ryder, 17 good personality Tom Lynch. 18 Jared Ruffhead, 19 Eddie Betts, 20 Harley Bunnell, 21 Isaac Smith, 22 Isaac Heaney, 23 Jack Billings, 24 Josh Jenkins, 25 Luke Brust, 26 Took Miller, 27 Kobe Stevens, 28 Alan Christensen, 29 Tex Walker, and 30 Jack Watts. And a couple just there to watch over the JLT series. I've got Tim Embry, Nathan Hrovat, Rory Lobb, and Mitch Wallace.
Is Mitch Wallace even going to play in?
No, but he's later in the year.
Who are you going to tell us about, Jono?
Took Miller. He's got that mid-forward status this year. And if they put him out on the wing, with you, he's going to receive a lot of ball, pump it inside 50. So he's going to get those cheap possessions, your Lucky Hunter, Jack McRae style. So an 85 to 90 average is not within the realms of impossibility there for me, I think, with Took Miller.
He's had a pretty fantastic first 2 years.
He has.
You consider it.
Yeah. I mean, he's been played in a very weak side that's been decimated by injury and being crapola, so they've got some pretty good guys coming back in. We'll see Riscatelli later in the year as well if he gets back in. Could be a good little speculative pick there towards the end of your draft.
See, I'd even have him above. I know you got Bruce and Jenkins in front of him. I think I'd have Miller in front of them.
Again, with Supercoach, have you seen Took Miller? Not exactly a built for inside midfield, but if he can get that...
Well, as opposed to Luke Bruce.
He's a good roaming half forward and gets...
Anyway, I'm saying it's fair.
But yeah,
I'm saying it's fair.
It's a possibility he can get that 90 average playing on a wing. The next guy I want to talk about is Kobe Stevens, moved from the Bulldogs to St Kilda. If you've seen this guy's scores in Supercoach, he's got a ceiling of around 140. Gets the mid-forward status this year. He's going to play the guts inside mid alongside Jack Stevens and the crew. He's going to go... He's not a sexy name player as well. Didn't get the opportunities. Oh, he got injured at the Bulldogs, and that was it for him. He's going to play at the Saints. Lock him in. You're going to get him a good draft value for me.
Yeah,
The only thing is games played.
Yeah, I've got Kobe Stevens decently high in my dream team rankings. I've got him at 12. I really like him.
Yeah.
Because I see a really clear path for Kobe Stevens. So I've actually got him in front of Josh Caddy, who I know a lot of people like, but I think there's a very, very, very clear path to Kobe Stephens being the inside midfielder.
And he's been highly touted for his whole career.
Yeah, I don't usually like guys who have changed clubs
twice. This is third club.
But Jack Steele's been injured, had the stress fracture in his foot. I really just see a very, very clear path. They were towards the bottom of the league in terms of centre clearances and contested possessions, so they clearly need a big body. Now, that hasn't particularly been his strong suit because of role.
That's correct.
So I think he can get inside. We know he's got good tackle numbers.
Yep.
So I'm certainly on board with that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Really looking forward to it. The next guy I want to talk about is handsome Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast. We saw him last year averaging 93 in a pretty poor team that wasn't kicking a lot of winning scores. So up there in the Common Medal as well, throw in Barlow, throw in a fit Ablett, Swallow if he plays. He's going to get more of the ball, more opportunity. Sure, he's more like your JJK, mark, kick, goal kind of player, but hell, he can kick, he can mark, and he gets a lot of... He's an accurate kick as well.
Yeah, I'm certainly all about handsome Tom, I think. And there's a guy left out of that, Pierce Hanley, Jono.
I forget. Oh, and Lions as well.
So there's a lot of big weapons there. One thing I like about handsome Tom is... He scored well in wins.
Yes.
The average is big in wins. And I think they're going to surprise a few people.
I think so.
And one thing to remember about Gold Coast, man, they have got a fantastic fantasy finals draw.
I haven't looked had a chance to look.
Good fantasy. Anyone who's got Brisbane in their fantasy finals draw, is that good, the situation?
Especially if it's a grand final. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, it's not a grand final.
Damn. Your thoughts, Statesman?
To be quite honest, I've never had the ability to choke in Super Coach because I've never been that good at it.
This would be your first year, wouldn't it?
No. I've tried to choke there before, but just never got the opportunity to choke.
Fair enough. And the last guy I want to talk about is Justin Westhoff from Port Adelaide.
He's one of your boys, John.
He's one of my boys. Picked him up last year in our legal records. Was pretty good for me, averaging 85, which actually a drop for him in terms of Super Coach.
He had a big drop in Dream Team as well, about 9 points.
Yeah,
he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, it was about
10 points.
10 points in Super Coach, so he's been around that. Well, his highest would be 98, but he's been around the 91 to 94 average. You bring in big Charlie Dixon. You've got Paddy Ryder playing ruck. Last year, Westhoff was here, there, everywhere. I can see Ryder playing a similar role to your Nick Riewoldt, pushing up on the wing, still playing full. Well, also, he pinch-hitted in the ruck as well last year.
Pinch-hitted?
Pinch-hit. You fail English.
You're not a baseball fan.
He did pinch-hit in the ruck on occasion too. Not to the greatest of effect, but...
New.
It's still all
Actually,
opportunities for points.
We just had some lamb before, and these are toothpicks. We got to eat the lamb. That's very Justin Westhoffy.
Very Justin Westhoffy. But again, if all goes right for the Port Adelaide Power, no injuries and everyone plays in positions, Westhoff gets back to that 92-93 average.
Yeah, I like it. I don't have a problem with it. I got him at my rankings and I made the point that I thought he could be a sneaky value. Because he's been, I talked about with Gunston, all it took was a mark and a kick, and he fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
So, can he get back? Maybe. Probably.
Sure. Hope so. Statesman, your forward players, please.
Now, I will point out these are for a keeper league, and it's worked out on a formula. The data doesn't lie. It's just the information where they lie. Yes, starting off at number one, Jack McRae, two, Luke Dalhouse, number three, Josh Caddy, four, Toby Green, five, Jack Gunston, six, Devin Smith, seven, Jack Billings, eight, Isaac Smith, nine, Isaac Heaney, and number 10, Tuke Miller. With the top 10, it includes four I do have concern with. Although they're forwards at the moment, they most likely won't keep that status in being Jack McRae, Josh Caddy, Isaac Smith, and Isaac Heaney. I believe Isaac Heaney will probably keep his forward status for another 12, maybe 24 months as he slowly gets into that full mid rotation. But I think he'll end up being a mid slant inside, sorry, an inside mid slant winger long term and lose the forward status. For the second tier, 11, Handsome Tom, 12, Good Personality Tom, 13, Nick Riewoldt, 14, The Great Man Jesse Hogan of Hogan's Heroes, 15, Elliot Yeo, that is a surprising one, but we'll get to his data soon, 16, Stephen Motlop, 17, Harley Bunnell, concerned, but that's where the data lands him, 18, Brett DeLidio, 19, Chad Wingard, 20, Jack Steele, and the last 10, 21, Jordan DeGoey, 22, Cyril Rioli, 23, Caleb Daniel, 24, Josh Dunkley. I will say with Jack Steele and Josh Dunkley, I have a concern long-term with regards to their positional status. 25, Jack Watts, 26, CP, 27, Michael Walters, 28, JJK, 29, Lance Franklin, very low, I know, but that is his age affecting his point score across the board. And number 30, Justin Westhoff. Before I go any details, questions, gentlemen?
Yeah, we just had something come to our attention.
It seems like I've left your boy Brett DeLidio off my list.
Really?
Yeah, massive oversight.
He's up to it in Supercoach.
Seems fair, John.
It does seem fair because I think he's falling right off the cliff. But no, that's a massive oversight by me. But
you can go work on that. I'll chat with States.
But I would slot him in my top 10 in the 8 to 9 range.
How vague. I want to talk about my boy Jesse Hogan.
Your boy now.
My boy. Hey, it's been on record. Like 12 I love Jesse Hogan. I think he's a gun. That happened. That was a thing that did happen in real life. So despite the last 10 months of bagging him out, but I think he's an interesting guy to talk about because up till about round 16 last year, he was really knocking it out of the park. He got a knock in a game in the knee, and he really didn't fire in the last six rounds. That's where the bulk of his bad scores were. But you're talking about a key forward who's come out and gone 73, 79. They're an improving team. They've bolstered their midfield. Certainly think Jordan Lewis gives them a lot of fantastic ball inside 50. That's why I think he falls away in the midfield, but that's another story. But also with Christian Petrarca, who knows a quality user going inside 50, I really feel comfortable about...
Tainted.
About Jesse Hogan going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think he's generally one of the two or three gun key forwards moving into the next generation. And I've liked the look of him since he finally got the opportunity. I know it was sort of 12 months on the list before he could get to play a game, but got through his injuries. He looks very promising and looks like he's one of those persons that can just grab a game by the scruff of the neck. The reality means he's going to be more of a super coach player because of his impact than a consistent dream team player. But look, I rate him. And the drama with keepers, keeper leagues, is you actually have to start leaning towards those permanent forwards because you can't have someone that's like an Isaac Smith that pops in and gets a forward status for 18 months and then disappears because you've gone from having a top 10 ranking forward to someone in the 50s and 60s in midfield. So in keeper leagues, you start to see that a Jack Gunston, a Handsome Tom or a Jesse Hogan actually become much more important because they're keeper forwards for their whole career.
Yeah, and I'd agree. And I would also throw this out to you, Statesman, that sometimes when you're talking about the elite key forwards, sometimes the boom bust is a little bit overplayed. Like, let's talk about Handsome Tom Lynch. He played all 22 games. He only threw in 5 scores of sub 70. Like, I don't think that's something I can really feel too bad about. Like, we'll talk about...
It's no James Ash.
It's no James Ash. Well, but, I mean, look at Zach Billings. Okay, we all like Jack Billings, and we think he's going to be fantastic. But he had 5 games under 70, and he played 17 games. We talk about Devin Smith. He had 5 games under 70, and he played 12 games. And, I mean, these guys are all highly rated and can certainly go high. But I just... I sometimes think the whole key forward thing gets a little bit overplayed in terms of boom bust.
Especially the way the game's being played now.
Absolutely.
No, spot on, gents. I did get a question during the week from the Bearded Clams, and I thought I'd better raise this. But seeing you've mentioned Jesse Hogan, it was probably important. The question was, where do you see Viney averaging in 2017? And my response was, well, that's actually a very good question, because I actually have a lot about the Melbourne midfield. And I think from memory we talked with regards to the Real Footy Tip show, and I had Melbourne as one of those coming up. And not long after that, Champion Data did a study on midfields, and Melbourne ended up being ranking the lowest. And ever since then, I've keep on going back and looking at that list and going, well, where is that next step coming from, and where are they continually improving, and how's the good delivery going to happen at that footy club? And we can all say Lewis and CP are two names that keep popping up, but the rest of them are good, really good average citizens. They're not that elite level. So I don't know how that puts your forwards in Melbourne Footy Club, whether they're going to be constantly having to fight for every opportunity or whether life gets easier for them. So I certainly have some questions of how Melbourne's midfield are going to go, which should determine how the forwards are going to go.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I've certainly got some... I think Jono could have had Petrarca in his top 30 pretty easily. It didn't. That's fine. I've got no problems with that. But, you know, it's not like Angus Brayshaw is an elite ball user.
No.
It's not like Bernie Vince is an elite ball user.
And you got both like Hunt and Kenton.
So that's a good point. How about we talk about another Melbourne guy you had on your...
Christian Petrarca.
Your list, who was just outside. And no, was it...
Devin Smith?
Somebody was just behind... they were just behind... Yeah, Christian Petrarca. Oh, they were behind Jack Watts. Who was it who was just behind Jack Watts, who I would like?
Christian Petrarca. It's funny. Yeah.
How's he behind Jack Watts?
Well, it's raw data. So actually, he's a mile in front, or Jack Watts is a mile in front of Christian Petrarca on the raw data. Petrarca actually gets into that top 30 with his potential peak, which is an added 22 points. So I'm suggesting that when he gets his peak of his career, that CP as a forward mid, because that's what he'll build into, he'll get midfield time, but I think his tank will always have him spending time in the forward line, a bit like the way Dusty's played the majority of his career, that he'll get around the 90-point mark. And that's why he pops into that top 30 when we're talking keeper. He's only 21 years of age. We're a long way from seeing the best of him. Obviously, last year was his year after a knee reconstruction. It normally takes boys time to settle in, the 2 years to get to their full match fitness again and full impact on football. So for him to be his first full year of footy and him to be a first full year after a knee reconstruction, it's a fantastic result, averaging around that 70 mark in Dream Team. His points per minute are reasonably impressive in his first year, and that's why I see he's got a big step up. Don't sound too disgruntled towards Jack Watts. He had a pretty solid year at 25, his breakout year, averaging 81, and his points per minute were around the 80 as well. So Jack Watts actually was a decent scorer this year.
No, look, he's Melbourne's best key forward, so we're obviously...
And defender.
I'm certainly all about Christian Petrarca as a pick in, especially in Supercoach.
Supercoach would be a massive impact player.
But come on, man, let's have it out. Let's hear about your boy, the lunch meat himself.
Yes, absolute jet, this boy. And a keeper, it just makes it bigger. He is at number 6, and I will say there's two jets there. 6 and 7 are the two that I rate the highest, Devin Smith and Jack Billings. So Devin Smith's 23, Jack Billings is 21. So I reckon Jack's actually got a bit more of the upside. They both points per minute are verging on that 90 points per 100 minutes. So they show that they can really get a fair bit of the pill. They're both, for a keeper league, always going to have that sort of half forward type role where they get runs and breaks in the midfield. So in other words, they're going to be able to gather a heap of the footy as well as keep their forward status, which is hugely important. Jack, long term, I think is going to be the one that impacts the scoreboard more than Devon, but I think Devon will be more the creator, so get that outside ball. They both can get the inside and outside ball, which is perfect for a forward. I'd say lunch meat is just ahead at this stage, but it's means because he's played more games. But Jack Billings, I think, longer term will take over and just be in front of him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind just having a... Just quickly on Jack Billings, I think he comes in at a fantastic value this year. We've seen him spoken about in zero salary cap articles. But here's a guy going into his fourth season. We know he's got the scoring potential. I've got him ranked at 17 for Dream Team in a redraft.
Yep.
I think he's an absolute... going to be a steal in a lot of drafts.
I've even got him in my classic team for Supercoach.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd drag up. Now, I rate these boys highly, so I'm going to probably grab them a little bit earlier than most. But I quickly thought I'd go through an AFL fantasy draft that I went through the other day, just doing a bit of testing. And I thought I'd go late on forwards. So I've actually picked up a midfield, a defender, and a ruckman, and then another midfielder, which was Rockcliffe, Doherty, Gold Coast and Mitchell, my first four picks. So Mitchell being a pick 39. That's when I started... Yes, that's when I started looking at the forwards. Now, I was able to pick up Devon Smith at pick 82,
wow,
which I thought was a reasonably good pick for him. My next pick was Jack Billings at pick 99. So round 10, pick 99 was Jack Billings. And I thought they were both, in my eyes, steals.
Do you still think Billings could maybe even slip to around 12, another two rounds?
Look, it's a possibility, but I also
like him that much.
And maybe it's talking a bit of the draft strategy, which might be getting to one of the questions we get a little bit later on. But I put my rating, so I have my list with my beautiful data gentleman, as you truly would know and understand. But when we're getting through the draft, yes, I have a reasonably good understanding of what I want to do when I want to do it. But I also look and go, well, my next midfielder is ranked on the board in four picks time, and I'm next.
Yep.
So if I look then, and none of my rucks are in the next eight runs, and the same with the forward defenders, is I'll change. Yep, I was going to go forward. I'll go the midfielder, so I get Michael Barlow at pit 62, like I did this draft.
So similar to what Steve does with his tiers, essentially.
Yeah, exactly right. So with Devon Smith and Jack Billings, because I'm rating them highly, soon as they're sort of coming up close to the board where an anonymous person might pick them up but not be as keen as I am, I jump in and grab.
Yep.
So could Jack Billings have got through to round 12? He most certainly could have.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, I wasn't going to take that risk because I'm keen on him.
Yeah, I think they're all good values, and I think that's the way I'll be approaching my drafts is I want the defenders. I got them rated a little bit higher than the forwards. I think there's a lot of good value in the forwards.
Oh, for sure.
If you pick the right guys, though.
Yes.
But
absolutely, and I will just mention that the late forwards I got Christian Petrarca at pick 199.
Wow.
I've got Chad Wingard, who I think is going to make a big comeback and be in the top 15 forwards. I got him at a pick 159, and I got Jack Steele as well at 139. So I didn't pick my first forward to selection number 5, and I got Caddy, Lunchmeat, Billings, CP, Chad Wingard, and Jack Steele, who I thought are all breakout or top 10 potential players in the forward line, and got them all pretty late.
You spoke about Chad Wingard there. You and I are pretty high on him this year, whereas Steve isn't. Can you?
I got him at 27. I think that's decent.
That's decent, but we've. I say I've got him as a top 10, and
he's not a dream team player.
No, but Statesman says he's top 15. So I'd like to hear his thoughts on why he can go top 15.
No, but he's that's for keepers.
Oh, it's for keepers.
I mean, if I was playing keepers, he's in front of a lot of these guys.
Yeah, Jack Wingard averaged 89 in 15, dropped his average down to 72, but he was impacted with a bit of a knock. He never really come back that well, and I think it was purely that. I think he will come back and be a high 80s. He has the potential that when it get the mix between midfield opportunities and their team playing well, so having the opportunity to score well as a forward, to get an average closer to the 90 to 95. I think Chad is a gun, and I think Chad, yes, he'll give you some lower floors at times, but I think on overall, he's going to get pretty good average for us. I think the 72 is the lowest we're going to see from Chad for the next half a dozen years.
Well, if you look at his scoring history, he's a odd year player. So he's obviously going to tear it up this year. Just quickly, one last guy. I'm a Collingwood fan, Statesman, and you wanted to talk about Jordan Goey quickly. I'm not convinced. Convince me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think Jordan Goey is more of a case of lack of true opportunity. Every single player, unless they are the absolute elite, can get lost in a forward pocket or a half forward role. So when you're matching part positions, you don't really get the opportunities to impact the game, and if your confidence is not there, you haven't got an experience. A Scott Pendlebury going to the half forward line is still going to have a good impact, because Scott Pendlebury forces himself onto the contest and has got every confidence he can really impact the game. Jordan Goey hasn't got that run yet of being able to establish in his own mind that he's in the best team. I think that's going to happen very quickly. I think he's got all the tools. Now, he's already averaged a 75. This man is not too far away from being an 80-plus averager. Once he gets the right amount of rotation that he should, and he should, and feel more secure as a member, he's only turning 21 this year, more secure in his own position in the team, I think you'll see his data rise. I think his points per minutes are very encouraging, and I think when he gets the actual right opportunities, things are just going to be on the up and up for Gordon DeGoey. Trust us when we say, if you look at Patrick Dangerfield's first 5 years of scoring, it would argue a concern. The first 6 years of Gary Ablett's was a major concern. The reality is, if they've got the tools, it's when the confidence kicks in and when they know that they're bigger than the game themselves. It'll take a while for Jordan. It will come.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I worry because of the... It wasn't a big ball winner in the junior days, but...
All things look good for DeGoey.
I like him more in Supercoach. He's like Petrarca.
Yeah.
I agree. That's why, as a 21-year-old, he's in the 20s. He's not like a Tuke Miller, who's in the top 10, and Isaac Heaney, who's in, you know, ninth position, or Jack Billings, or Devon Smith. He's not up at that level yet, because he's got to put more on the scoreboard for us.
Fair enough. But moving on now to some questions. We've got a lot of questions this week, so thank you to everyone who's written in. Beginning with @funnyguy742555. Who will win the league between us?
I'll respond to this. I'll lead all year and choke at the end.
Pretty much how it's going to work out.
Got the runs on the board.
And also, Funny Guy has asked...
It's fun. It's Fun Guy.
Fun Guy.
Can you read English?
No, I cannot read. Fun Guy, sorry.
Sorry, I'm all fired up because I just watched The Bachelor with Mrs. Fizz. It's fair to say I thought my team was going swimmingly. And then
but then did a Statesman.
Oh, Mrs. No, what? It's early days. It's early days. And it's fair to say Mrs. Fizz's team came roaring back.
There's some craziness there.
We're waiting for the points to get calculated.
But Fun Guy also asks, should we consider Port and all Gold Coast players for the bye round?
Well, they've got the early bye. When I'm drafting, I tend not to consider bye rounds.
No.
I mean, that'd...
especially for draft, it's good for the wins, but it's probably more prevalent for your salary cap games if you're trying to reach number one.
Look, I kind of like Gold Coast. I think the early buy is interesting and certainly going to help you over the buy periods, but I like their finals draw. Port, it's just not going to register when I'm drafting. No. I want the best team I can build, and that's the way I go about it.
And I'm exactly the same. You pick the best player in the best position. You draft the best. Yes, some of them might get hurt by injuries or whatever the case may be. Some will be impacted in different bye rounds. But if you've drafted the best possible team, you're going to win enough games to put yourself in the finals before you choke.
Correct. And also a bit of continuation on from that question, we've got at Bales81. Could you load up on 3 to 4 Port Adelaide or Gold Coast players, tank round 9, but more likely win your other buy round matchups? Obviously, this is just for a single season league, plus Suns have a sweet post buy draw.
Well, you could, but...
You're hurting yourself in other positions then, aren't you?
I think you're hurting. I think if you do that specifically with that in mind, you're obviously going to be reaching on players, which means you're probably going to hurt yourself the other 15 weeks of your season.
Yeah, totally agree.
Well, potentially.
I mean, you could do that on a 50-50 choice. So you've got the option of going Beams or Barlow. Which one do you go? That's a possibility, but I think we've made the point in the last one. Pick your best team, stop.
I guess that's... I mean, if you really wanted to weigh into it in a 50-50... That might be the tiebreaker. That's fair enough. But to be going into your draft, it's a really dangerous tactic because it's not like you're going to be sitting there with 4 50-50 decisions between a Gold Coast and Port player and someone else, are you?
Probably not.
No. I mean, it might be a tiebreaker. That's all I'm saying. I mean, obviously, Bales thinks Gold Coast have a sweet post-buy draw, which they do.
Yes.
So maybe the Suns player has a
slight advantage.
Slight advantage. Right.
Our next question from is at Crippled Brewer. Our thoughts on the movie Boondock Saints. Now, classic movie. Loved it as a kid growing up. Got him on the hard drive somewhere. Going to go back and watch him tonight, I think. Steve.
Nah, sounds like you wrapped it up, Johnny.
No. Have you seen it?
Have not. Look, you know me. I'm not a big movie... TV watching guy.
But you're the kind of guy who likes those cult indie type films, and that's what this is. This wasn't a big Hollywood blockbuster.
Well, that's slipped by me. What has the statesman seen it? Sipping on a Pinot and eating a salad one night, just flicking through the channels, Boondock Saints came on.
I was probably watching Monty Python, sorry.
I see. I'd watch
all reruns of Seinfeld.
And next question from at SneakyNut05.
Sneaky nut.
What do you guys consider to be the perfect structure in an up to 12 team super coach keeper league?
We generally don't like drafting beyond 220 players, but because it's a 12 team, I'd say 240. I'll say off the bat, I want 6 teams in the finals.
Hello, Haraldson.
No, you can do it. Oh no, you can't do it.
Not for
I'd
super
rather
coach.
I'd rather keep 8.
8 players?
I'd rather keep less players in a keeper league.
Yep.
So that's my call. I want 6 teams in the finals. 8 keepers. I mean, that's still 100 and... No, it's 96. 96, 12 times 8 is 96.
Correct.
So that's sort of where I want to be. I don't want to keep... I want to keep around half, but just slightly less.
Slightly. I think that's fair.
So I think that's pretty fair.
Yep. And our last question from... Ozzy Yildiz.
He's got 3.
He's He's got three questions.
That's our man in the States.
Our
shout out to Aussie.
Yes, thank you, Aussie. Hopefully you're doing all right during this hard time with the Trump administration.
How's the airport, buddy?
It's more of a request for the three of us, but during the lead up to your mock drafts, number one, strategy going into it, safe, solid, premium rucks picks early, an even spread of premium across all lines, or focus on one to two lines early?
Yeah, I'll field this one because obviously we've got the mock coming up. I'm really big, you know, John, I'm a big NFL player.
Yep.
Do a lot of mocks going into the NFL season. And I would say when I'm doing mocks is, unlike the Statesman, I don't have to win everything because I don't win everything. Well, really.
You win hardly anything.
But the mock, I'll be going into the mock with the opposite of what my actual draft strategy is. My actual draft strategy is I want defenders and I want mids going in early. So what I'll be doing is going into the mock, I'll be preparing for the worst.
Yep.
So
your pick 10.
Well, I don't know what pick I've got going into the mock. So I'll be treating it as a worst case scenario. What happened? What does my team look like if I draft a forward early? What does my team look like if I draft a ruck early? These are the things I want to know because they're the situations I want to be prepared for when it comes to our actual drafts.
And what sort of reaction does it to the rest of the people around you drafting on that same time?
And that's right, because a lot of draft situations are reactionary.
Yes.
But I want to be prepared for the worst because I've got a pretty good idea of what I want to do going into it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Statesman thinks. He might have a different perspective. Winner?
Yes. I think it changes every year because it all depends what's available. And I think what I tried to show referring to the draft I did on AFL Fantasy last week was I was able to find there was a fair bit of gold available late for forwards. I feel that if you want to base your team on having a really good ruck structure, if you've got a two ruck league, you need to go one of the guns early, but only four of you can do that, maybe five if you put Sam Jacobs in there. So I think what you mentioned before was getting your mid and your defenders, I think, the priority this year, and depending of where you want to go with your ruck structure, I think there's a couple of gems late in rucks, but very few and far between, and I don't think people really know who they are yet. I reckon I picked up two easily in two drafts, and preseason might shake that up. But I would say there's depth in forward. There's not the amount of primos there, but there's breakout depth in forward. I think there's a lack of quality in the defence.
So I'm more of a person who likes to spread their primos evenly across the lines and just fill them up as they go. And
yeah, but this is talking going into your mock.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to have a crack at it.
You're going to play it like a regular.
Maybe. But I'm...
It's
but
a mock. You don't have to win. It's a mock.
Well, I'm also thinking of... I lost what I was going to say.
Sounds solid strategy, Jono.
I didn't have any
strategy. My ideas.
I have no strategy whatsoever going into it. Also, more of a reactionary. Yes.
I'd rather prepare for the worst.
Really?
That's okay. That's fine. We've all got different opinions on that.
So, well, it's fair to say this sounds like two people knew what they were doing, and the other one just won a fantasy final.
That's how he rolls.
That's how it's all reactionary.
If people think I'm joking when I say this guy bumbles into things,
it's true.
How are you the host?
I bumbled into it.
Question two.
The thought process in the picks you actually made, only a 60 minute show, so how about the top 10 to 12 rounds only? Well, that's pretty much what we're going to do. We're going to go through it after we do the draft and then just talk about picks, runs people went on, how people reacted to things.
We'll give you the pertinent information.
Yes.
And I'll write a little note before my draft position of what I'm going to do and then reflect how that looks coming back.
I was thinking
so that might be a good little exercise.
I was thinking about doing a periscope whilst I was drafting.
What the hell's a periscope?
That's brilliant.
I mean, I'm sure the five people who watched would be really interested.
And I've got it set on 30-second rotation anyway, so the draft should be pretty quick.
Oh, thank Christ.
Yeah, I was hoping for a 10-minute lift and go get the beer and come back.
Do you reckon you can drink whilst it's on?
Oh, it's going to be on. Number three, slightly off topic, but what's an acceptable wait time before asking the commissioner about payments? When the fantasy season is over or on the season proper? On draft day, people.
I would say if they're your mates and you're in a really tight league, before the bye rounds.
Yep.
And if they're people you don't know, before draft day.
Yeah, or on draft day. Bring your cash to draft day.
You don't draft unless you're paid up.
Yep.
But, you know, our league's...
Pretty cash.
We're all mates.
Yeah, I think... because our league was all mates, I think there was... after the grand final, I was collecting payments. But I know these people, so...
That's fine. Not ideal.
That just about wraps up the show for this week. Next week, we've got...
Midfielder
ranking.
Should we do the mock draft?
I'm thinking mock draft because it'll be fresh in our minds.
I think the people want the mock.
They want the mock.
Might need 2 weeks to do my midfield ranking.
I know, too. I will.
Really breaks up the show.
Twitter poll it. You decide what we want next week.
Mid ranks or mock draft results.
Here we go. And to do that, Steve will put the Twitter poll up later this evening, tomorrow morning. You can do that by phone.
No. This is Wednesday when this is being heard.
Okay.
I'll put it up.
It's already up.
People.
You can vote on that Twitter poll. You can do that by heading over to Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. You can send him a message and tell him what you think. Or
just send him a choking gif.
Yeah. That's fine. Loves
getting gifts from people. Maybe the Salt Bay meme, because he's salty.
Ooh, the choking salt.
He loves that. He's frozen on our screen too.
Yes. Look at that smile.
I hope he's got a punching bag, because he's just going to go outside.
He's probably going to get a cat or a dog he's going to kick.
I don't want that.
We don't condone violence to animals. Or you can head over to Facebook, where you can search the Draft Doctors, or drop us an email where we're the Draft Doctors.
I'm just about to go and do 20 laps of the oval, actually.
thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Statesman. And please get on Twitter and vote.
Thank you, listeners. Thanks to everyone who's been downloading the show, and make sure you subscribe and review and send Statesman horrible gifts.
Yes, we love it. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.